seated. My time is already starting to get away from me. Amen. But if I could just have a few moments of your time, I believe that God wants to speak through His Word today. Hallelujah. Amen. As I've read the text from the 91st chapter of Psalm, I would like to direct your attention to two key words. Amen. Two key words. It's important that we pay close attention in the Word of the Lord to the words that are used. Amen. Sometimes just a simple suffix or a prefix can change the entire meaning, amen, of the whole thing. So it's important that we pay close attention, amen, to the context and to the wording that is given to us in the Word of God. But I want to take you and turn your attention to two words in particular, amen. And that is, the Bible says that he that dwelleth, the word dwell, and then if he will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that he will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want us to take particular attention and focus on these two very important words, to dwell and to abide. Amen. That the word to dwell, it simply means, as a noun, it means a building or a place of shelter. It is a place to live in. It is a place of residence. It's an abode. It is a home. To use that word as a verb, it is to live or to stay. Almost the same, isn't it? As a permanent place, as a permanent residence, a place to reside. To live or to continue in a given condition or state. To dwell in happiness, to linger over, to emphasize, or to ponder in thought. Hallelujah. The word to abide, it is very similar. It means to remain, to continue, to stay, to have one's abode. It is a place of dwelling. It is a place of residence. To continue in a particular condition. It is an attitude. It is a relationship, etc. What it simply means, that it is something that lasts. It is not something that is quickly fleeting. It is not something that is just quickly passing by, as we would use the word visitation. But I would tell you this morning that too many people, too many Christians and non-Christians, amen, as we might define them, or let God define them, I guess would be the better thing to do. Amen. But people are satisfied with just coming to the house of God, to a service much like the one that we're in this morning, and leave saying we have visited the presence of God. Hallelujah. But not picking Him up and letting Him change their life and getting into the innermost fiber of their being and making a positive and a permanent change in their life, so that when they turn around and they leave the church, that they are no longer saying we have had a visitation, but they can say, hallelujah, this is a dwelling place. This is a habitation of the presence of God. Hallelujah. The Bible didn't say that God visits the praises of His people. It said that He inhabits the praises of His people. It's where He lives. It's where He dwells. It's where He abides. And that is what the psalmist is trying to emphasize to the church this morning, is that if he that will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, he don't have to just come by and visit and go home. God won't just visit you and leave you to make it through the night all by yourself. But he says he that will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. One chord that I find throughout the scripture, all the way from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. You can follow that thread all throughout the scriptures. If I had time, and I don't, I could expound and really tell you about it this morning, really explain it in theological terms, and take you through all the scriptures that talk about the covering. It was all about covering. I have discovered that God, He wants to cover us. It was always about the covering. It was always about the shadow of the glory of God. He always desired to cover us, to protect us from the things around us that would harm us. He always wanted us to dwell in a place of solitude, in a place of protection. Hallelujah. He always wanted to overshadow us. He always wanted to cover us with his feathers. Anytime you find the glory of God, you'll find it in reference to a covering, to a place where you are covered or overshadowed. Anytime it refers to the glory of God, point and case in point, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, Isaiah writes, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and I saw two seraphims. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The whole earth was full of his glory, but with twain, they had six wings, and with twain they covered their face, and with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. Because when we find the glory of God, he will make sure that we are covered. Hallelujah. That we are protected, that we have a place of solitude. Hallelujah. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower where the righteous can run into and be safe. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. You ask, why do I want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? So you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You may ask, why do I need to be covered? You need to be covered for divine protection. We're not going into great detail. In the last 4 or 5 months, I have literally, physically, and spiritually wrestled with demonic forces and with demonic activity. Hallelujah. Sister Hart was there when it all happened. She was a witness to the whole thing. I'm telling you, it is important that as the people of God, that we make sure that we do not escape the covering. I'm talking about a young person in my youth group that escaped the covering. He escaped the secret place. He escaped the shadow of the Almighty that was protecting him. He chose, listen to me, for young people and old alike, he chose to leave the covering. He chose to leave the dwelling place. He chose to leave the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm telling you that demonic forces and the power of Satan took over him, because the Bible says that Satan walketh to and fro as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Again, notice the wording that's used. I draw your attention to the word seeking whom he may devour. It is a word of permission. It is a word of permissiveness. If we are walking after the Spirit of God, Satan cannot touch me. If I am under the shadow of the Almighty, the demonic forces and activity and the powers of this world and of Satan, they cannot penetrate. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says he roams to and fro seeking whom he may devour. What are you talking about, Hart? Well, I'm talking about Satan. He's pacing back and forth. He knows he can't get into the protective shell, into the protecting covering that God has upon his people. But if somebody would make a choice to step out of that covering, hallelujah, that what they're basically saying to the lion that roameth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, what they're telling him is, God is trying to protect me, but I am telling you with my that you may have lunch with me. And guess what? Your lunch. Hallelujah. He is seeking whom he may devour. That individual that would say, here I am, I'll just walk away from the shadow of God's glory for a little while. Y'all keep the place warm, okay? I'll be back. Only the problem is sometimes they don't make it back. Hallelujah. Sometimes they don't make it back. I could show you, if I had time, in the scripture, the Bible, in the book of Exodus, talks about when God sent the plagues, hallelujah, to the nation of Egypt. What did God do with his people? He took them out of there, didn't he? And he placed them in the land of Goshen. He had prepared a dwelling place, a place of habitation, a place where judgment could not enter, a place where the judgments of God upon the world, the plagues, the hail, the frogs, the lice, all the things that you read about in the book of Exodus, all the plagues, they could not penetrate into the land of Goshen. The Bible says that God placed his people in the land of Goshen, and there they were protected. But I tell you today that if one of them would have taken the notion to say, you know what, it's just too crowded over here, and decided to step out, they would have stepped out right into one of the plagues that was falling. And I'm telling you, they would not have been protected, because God had made a place of safety. God had built a house for them to dwell in. And I'm telling you today that God has built for the church an ark of safety. The Bible says that we are living in a new tabernacle, not made with man's hands, but God has put us in the church, in the ark of safety. And I'm telling somebody this morning, you better stay there. Don't think about turning around. Don't think about walking out, because judgment's falling out there, and you want to be protected in the secret place of the Most High. All right, I've got to hurry. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Genesis, the second chapter, in the 25th verse, we can read about Adam and Eve. The Bible says this, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, how many of you have ever had one of them dreams? You know what I'm talking about? Where you can't find where you left your clothes. I know I'm not the only one that's ever had that dream. I couldn't remember where I put my clothes. Man, you're talking about ashamed and embarrassed. Man, I haven't had that happen to me in reality, but thank God. But you know how it feels when you wake up and you're like, oh, thank God. It was just a dream. Woo! There's the dresser right there. Hallelujah. You can't get up and put on a shirt fast enough. Hallelujah. Amen. But the Bible says that Adam and Eve, they were naked and they weren't ashamed at all. Amen. You know why? Psalms 8 tells us why. Psalm 8 and chapter 8 and verse 4 through 6. For what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and thou hast crowned him with glory and with honor. Hallelujah. And thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, hallelujah. The reason that Adam and Eve were naked and weren't ashamed at all is because they were covered with the glory of God. Hallelujah. They were covered with the glory of God. And when one named Lucifer came in the form of a serpent, and he began to beguile them, and he began to tempt them, that when Adam disobeyed God, that was what it was all about. It was about obedience or disobedience, wasn't it? And Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They did more. The Bible says that their eyes were opened, and they did more than just reveal their nakedness. The Bible says that they went, "Woo! Let's go put something on." And they tried to make, you know, leaves and stuff, try to cover themselves up. And God said, "No, that's not sufficient. Now we got to slay, make an animal sacrifice." We know what that's all about in the book of Hebrews. For without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission or covering of sin. types of shadows and all that good stuff. But let me tell you what happened was when Adam and Eve made that decision to disobey God, they did more than just disobey God. More than just bring about the judgment of death, because before that there was no sin in the world and the penalty of sin is death. Okay? And so before that, Adam, he wasn't going to die. Adam and Eve, they weren't supposed to die. It wasn't God's plan for them. But when sin entered the world, they entered into a new covenant. And in this covenant, they had to die. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we all agreed? Okay. Thank the Lord. But they did more than just determine that they would die. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, what they did is they took their glory and they laid it down. You see, they made a trade. I refer to it as the great exchange. They exchanged some things on that day. We see it again in typology. Through Jacob and Esau, there was some things that were exchanged, wasn't there? We see it again in typology with the prince of Tyrus. There were some things that were exchanged. We see Satan make his last attempt, and thank God it was futile, in the temptation of Christ in the wilderness just following his 40-day fast. He was attempting to make the great exchange. When he made the exchange with Adam and Eve, they laid down their glory. They laid down all the things that God had given to them. They laid down their dominion. They laid down all the stuff that came along with the glory of God. And so now we find ourselves in Luke chapter 19 when Jesus goes to the house of one named Zacchaeus and he tells him, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. Now, I don't want to mess up anybody's sermons. I've already messed up enough of my own with this. And I certainly don't want to take the scripture out of context. We know that Jesus came to the world that he might reconcile the world again unto himself. We know that, don't we? We know that he came to pay the penalty for sin, that we all might be saved. In Luke chapter 14, I believe in, or verse, chapter 4 and verse number 18, Jesus says once again, "I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, to give sight to the blind." You know, we know all that stuff, right? To set free the captive and all that good stuff. But I believe that when Jesus told Zacchaeus, "I've come to seek and save that which was lost," I believe that he was talking about more than just the lost sheep of the household of Israel. Again, I direct your attention to a word. He didn't say, "Zacchaeus, I've come to seek and save them that were lost," or "I've come to seek and save those that were lost." He said, "Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Hallelujah. That which was lost in reference to what Adam gave away in the garden. You see, Jesus Christ, he not only came so that we might be saved, but he came so that he could bring glory back to the church. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. In John chapter 7, and I'm closing quickly, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Hallelujah. "Zacchaeus, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." What did God tell? tell Adam and Eve in the garden after they laid down their glory? And what were the instructions and the things that he told the serpent after that he beguiled them in the garden? You remember, God spoke to him and said, "The seed of the woman is coming, Buster. And he's coming so that he will crush your head." And from that time forward, through the Prince of Tyrus and others, I wish I had time to go through it all. Amen. But since that time, Satan has been searching through on the eons of time for that seed of the woman, because he thought, well, maybe I'll be able to beguile him. Maybe I'll be able to make the trade with him. Maybe I'll be able to make the exchange with him, so he can't do that which he has purposed in his heart to do. And so we must view that from the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Satan speaks to Christ. And by the way, this is just a footnote. This just kind of takes down the doctrine of three separate gods. Satan looks at Christ and he says, "You know, if thou be the Son of God," in other words, "I'm not sure. Come on, fill me in here. Is it you?" Well, see, if Christ was co-eternal, then he would have been amongst the three that cast Lucifer out of heaven with the angels. He wouldn't have had to ask the question. He wouldn't have had to say, "Well, if it's really you," you know, he would have already known. So that's just a footnote. Don't mean anything else to do with this sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he says, "If thou be the Son of God," then take a look at all this stuff. All this stuff, the dominion and all that, it all belongs to me. And if you'll just bow down to me right now, I'll give it to you. And we've preached for years, well, he couldn't do that because it wasn't his to give. Wait a minute. Wasn't it? Wasn't it? Didn't God transfer the deed to Adam? And Adam turned around and transferred the deed when he laid down the glory to Satan. Satan says, "If you'll just make the exchange with me, I'll give you all this stuff that Adam gave me." And Jesus tells Zacchaeus, "No, no, no, no. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've come to put the glory back in the church." And through the death of the cross, hallelujah, Jesus made the final trip to the mercy seat as the spotless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Because you see, it was to this end that God had in mind through prophetic anticipation when he created the world. He created it all with this in mind. The book of 1 Colossians said, "All things were made by him and for him, that in all things Christ might have preeminence," or first position. It's what God had in mind the whole time. And through the death of the cross, Jesus made that final trip to the mercy seat if the musicians would come. Notice in John chapter 20, hallelujah. Notice in John chapter 20, verse number 17, after Christ has risen, Mary comes to the tomb and she sees him, and at first she's not sure who he is either. She thinks that maybe he's the gardener. And she comes up to him, and Jesus is quick to tell her, "Wait a minute, don't touch me." You see, in Old Testament times, when the high priest was on his way to make atonement for the sins of the people, he had to go through a certain purification, a certain ceremony, a certain type of cleansing before he could enter, lest he would fall into the presence of God and be defiled in the glory and be cast down dead. And so Jesus, serving as our high priest in type and shadow, he tells Mary, wait a minute, I'm on a mission. It's almost finished. It's almost done. This is what it was all about in the beginning. I've come to bring back the glory. You cannot touch me right now, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them that I am going unto the Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. And he went into heaven. He ascended. And he went to the mercy seat for the last time to offer the blood of the spotless lamb upon the mercy seat. And when he returned, just three short verses later, John chapter 20 and verse number 20 says that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus spoke to them, and they said, he said, peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You remember what happened? This is just a few verses later after he told Mary, before he went to the mercy seat, don't touch me. Remember, Thomas didn't believe, did he? Remember what Jesus told Thomas? Go ahead, touch me now, because it is finished. It is completed. Verse number 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. Whoosh, and he said unto them, now receive ye the Holy Ghost. In other words, now my glory is not only with you, but it is in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to have a great revival? You want to have great dominion over the enemy? I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of praying for the sick and praying for those that are oppressed and those that are bound, laying hands on them and calling on the name of Jesus, and the devil looking at you in the face and going, aren't y'all tired of that? God says, if you will get the glory back, the power and the dominion will return with the glory. And I'm about to prophesy in the Holy Ghost right now. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but there are some folks sitting in this building that you have been walking away from the glory. You have been partaking in things that is not covered under the feathers of his protective wing. Child of God, it is the shadow of God's glory where all great things occur. Remember, it was the Spirit of the Lord that overshadowed Mary, and she conceived. It's an overshadowing. It's a covering. Hallelujah, Jesus. God has prepared a place of covering. And if we will dwell there, if we will abide there, then we will be protected from the storms of life. Though the storms of life rage, and they will rage, just because if you're a child of God doesn't mean that the storms aren't going to rage around you. But God will protect you. He will walk with you right through the eyes and the teeth of that storm. But you've got to retain his glory. You've got to retain his covering. You've got to retain his protection. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, we do it through obedience, because it was through disobedience that the glory of God was lost. The Bible tells us in the book of James, therefore submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. We often quote the final portion of that scripture. Resist the devil and he will flee from us. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, praise the Lord. We get excited about that. But a lot of times we leave out the most important part. You see, this is a promise, but it is a conditional thing.
Yes.
I mean, some things are just set in stone. I mean, God's coming whether I believe that or not. God does have a church, and he's going to have a church, and they're going to be victorious, and he's going to call them up out of here in the rapture. Whether I believe that or not, it's going to happen. But some of the promises of God are conditional. He says, yeah, I'll do this for you, but first and foremost, you must submit yourself through obedience to my word. It was the disobedience to God's word that caused Eve and Adam to fall in the beginning. The serpent misquoted God as well, didn't he? In Genesis. It all came through the disobedience of the word of God. Folks, if we want to have the greatest revival that we have ever known, and the Bible says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. I'll pour out the former rain and the latter rain together. The greatest things, the greatest miracles, the greatest moves of God, the greatest revival, the greatest ingathering that the world has ever witnessed, it is still to come. Hallelujah. It's exciting. And if we want to be participants, if we want to participate and be a part and enjoy revival in this last day, and man, just really just give it to them. Take down the devil. Take dominion over him in the power of Jesus' name through the blood of the cross. Then it is imperative that we get the glory of God back in the house. Hallelujah. And if there's any of us that have stepped out of Goshen, if there is any of us that have temporarily exited the glory cloud, then let me tell you, come on back. It's not too late. God came to reestablish that which was lost in the church. The glory of God. It's in the house today. It's in here this morning. Why don't you stand with me together and in one mind and one accord? Why don't we make a rededication and a reconsecration unto the name of Jesus? For God has given us a name. He has highly exalted him and given us a name which was above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess of things in the earth and things in heaven and things under the earth. It is in the name of Jesus. Oh, cover me. Come on, reach out. Reach out with me right now. Come on, let's get the glory of God back in the house. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All over this building. Let's reach out to God. God wants to do something in your life today. He wants to put something down inside of you. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Reach out. Reach out. Reach out. Reach out. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
With your spirit.
Holy, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Cover me.
Cover me. Cover me, oh.
Cover me. Cover me. With,
hallelujah,
your spirit.
Come on, saints. Don't lay down the glory of God. Don't lay down the glory of God. Not for one second. Not for one moment. Not for one minute. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Holy One, cover me.
Cover me.
Cover me.
Hallelujah. Those of you that would like to pray, there's already some in the altars. Hallelujah. All over this house.
Your spirit, Holy One.
Come on, get in tune with God. Reach out and plug into Him this morning.
Cover me.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, cover
me.
With your Spirit, Holy One.